Glory to God. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God. We've been talking about wisdom, the wisdom of God, for some time. And I think we're ready to go a little bit into some things today. Maybe wrap up, we'll see. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. Thank God. This goes so much with everything that has come forth in the service thus far. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Amen. We do not want to put our trust in the wisdom of men, human wisdom, in ways of doing things. We want our trust in the power and in the wisdom of God Almighty. God Almighty, He will change things that cannot be changed by human reasoning and human endeavors. He knows how to get to the heart of a problem. He knows how to cut through all the things that we may get stuck in. He knows how to get things accomplished in the spiritual realm. Thank you, Lord. He said, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." I want you to know that there is so much, even in the church, there's so much reliance on human reasoning and human methods these days. And that's not going to be the way it is in this church as we go forward. We will operate in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, because that is what is going to change people. No matter how big we get, a lot of people have drawn back from the power of God, drawn back from the moving of the Holy Spirit, and it's not going to be with us. We're going to press in, because that is what is going to change people, change lives, is the power and the moving of the Holy Spirit. His wisdom, not our wisdom. Man's wisdom can come up with all kinds of things, and we're not knocking. Yes, sure, we need certain types of programs and whatever. But that's not our emphasis. You don't put the emphasis on those things. You put the emphasis on God and what He can do, and we'll see people and things change. Zechariah 4:6. Let's turn over there quick. Thank you, Lord. Actually, for the sake of time, let's just, because we're going to come right back to Corinthians, just look on your sheet. So he answered, Zechariah 4:6, so he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Not by might nor my power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. If we are following Him, if we are doing what He wants us to do, it ought to be by His Spirit, not and His power, not by what we can do. What we can do is nothing compared to what He can do. We can only do things in a measure. We can, certain people have certain talents and abilities and can get a lot done in the natural, not relying on God, but the things that are going to last for eternity are what we do for Jesus Christ and in His ability. What's the difference? Whatever you build, whether it's a business, whether, you know, it's an institution, whether it's a church or a ministry, if you do it in your own strength and you don't do it because God told you to do it and it's the thing He told you to do and He enabled you to do, the fruit won't be what it ought to be and it won't be lasting. Because if He's telling us to do something and asking us to do something and said, you can do this, we have to go by what He's asking us to do, and it will always be in His strength, not in our strength. See, we're so tempted to look at a situation and do what we think we can do. Just like what came forth earlier in the service. That's how Ishmael was born. And look at what we have to deal with today because Ishmael was born. All this stuff with the Muslim world and everything, that came because Abraham tried to do it in his own strength. That's a huge one. But in ourselves, we can do this in our life where you go and you push forward to something that you think you can do, because when you know, you can know in your heart what God wants you to do, and you could say, I don't know how to do that. But I do know how to do this, so maybe this will do. I'll do this. And when we do that, we short-circuit the power of God. We don't allow Him to move and do what He wants to do. And when we do that, there can be consequences and producing something that doesn't need, that should have never been. Things that, whether it's heartache in a family, whether it's financial hardship or whatever, or people getting off, because we chose to push forward with what we could do. Well, I can see how to do this. I have the ability to do this. I don't know about you, but as I have followed God, He has consistently led me into areas that I did not feel comfortable doing in my own strength and in my own ability. And the world will say, well, you just figure out what you're good at and you do that and you come up with your plan and so on and so forth. But God, He's got an overall plan and you're a part of it and He wants to mold you and shape you. And how many of you know change isn't fun? We all think it. I mean, when you're kind of at the 50,000 foot view and you're looking at, oh, yeah, you know, you just change this and you tweak this in your life and, yeah, I'm going to get into that program. It all looks good for about the first 3 days. Everybody ever been on an exercise program or a diet? Well, I could do that. It looks so tempting and so easy until you really get to where your flesh and your mind is actually going to change. As long as you can move stuff around, you haven't really changed, you just shuffled some stuff. You do that on vacation. We're out of our routine. We can put up, man, I'm telling you, I went to the Philippines in 2005, and it was 9 days, 10 days. Any of you that's been out of the country probably know what I'm talking about. But we went there, and I mean, first of all, I can't remember how many hours it took us to get there. Went from Oklahoma up to Minneapolis, you know, then for the international flight, and then went all the way over to Tokyo, I think it was, and then we got off there and went into Manila. I don't know how many hours that was, but you're there, and then church over there, man, they cooked for us and had awesome Filipino food, and it tasted really good. That first day, it was really good. And for a while, you know, I was like, yeah, I mean, I can get used to this. And you're eating rice every meal, and you're eating all these things, and, you know, fish, a lot of fish, because that's, you know, they're right near the water and all this, and it's good. But I'm telling you, by the Saturday before we left, I did not want to see any Filipino food. I did not want to taste it. I didn't want the smell of anything. And at the beginning, you're thinking, I could get used to this. I mean, you could do whatever. And I'm not saying you couldn't get used to it. I really liked it. But by the end, I mean, we went to a buffet, and I was just looking for something that looked and tasted American. They had turkey there, and I went for that. I just ate some of that, and I ate just whatever I could get that was what I liked and what I was used to. Has anybody else ever experienced anything like that? Okay, it was good. When I'm serious, you get down at the beginning, it's like, oh, this is good, this is different culture, good food, man, this is great. And you're thinking, I could get used to it. Ever started a diet or something? You're like, this time I'm going in, I'm going to do it. That's not the problem. It's when you get down to where it actually starts pushing you to where you're going to have to change. You've already squeezed out all the little nooks and crannies, and if you're going to do this thing, something's got to change. And we don't like to do that. And the all longer we go, the harder it gets to do this in the natural. You know, the more set you are in your ways. But God is going to keep bringing us up, and that's going to require us to change. And we're not talking about us changing in our own moral muscle, willpower. Because if we do that, yeah, you'll get so far, but you're not going to deal with the problem. Glory to God. Not going to go in a certain direction. Just thinking about. But people can hide certain things so you don't know what I'm talking about. Look good on the outside, and then you find out they were doing this all along, because if you try to do it in your own strength, it's going to pop out somewhere. Somewhere it will pop out. Because we can't do it and we can't change it in our own selves. Oh, yeah, I mean, I know, yeah, they're not knocking discipline. We ought to be disciplined, but you ought to be disciplined in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a whole difference. Why are you disciplined? Because you got this plan and you're going to do this and I'm going to do it. Or God, you called me to do this and I believe I can do it. And whatever it takes in the natural to change, my body's going under and I'm going to submit it to you. There's a whole big difference, because who are you relying on then? Him. Lord, you're going to do it. We mentioned relationships earlier. Earlier in the service. Lord, I am submitted to you, and I believe this is your will, and I'm going to let you work, and I'm going to be your vessel. You want me to say something, I'll say something, but you want me to keep my mouth shut? Here I am. Zip. Whereas people in the flesh will say, I've read this book and that book, I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to change this. How many messes have we made by doing that? Because the harder we push in there and twist and whatever, the worse it gets. Because it's us. But God can get in there. He just changes something. He can change something. He can bring us up. If we'll look to Him, yeah, we might be feeling it. We might be feeling like, I don't know if I can go further. I don't know if I can change this. But if we'll look to Him, He'll lift us up. He'll lift us up to a new level. But not, we are reading, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. When we do things for His glory and for His kingdom, it will be eternal. And we'll say, God, all glory goes to you. You helped me to do that. It wasn't my power and my smarts and my ability that did that. I'm going to do it. The wisdom of God. God will give us ways to do things, and He will add to it. Let's go back over to 1 Corinthians. Yeah. His wisdom is so much higher than ours. His wisdom will change circumstances. His wisdom will create things where there seems to be no way. No way things can change in the natural, but He has a way. He has a way. Glory to God. I said He has a way. He has an answer for everything. He has a way to go through. He has the right way. He has a way to change something that everybody said was impossible. You can't do this. How many times have we seen it in the Word where God just blew right through that? Jesus Himself, how many times did they try to push Him off the cliff? And He just walked right back through them. They couldn't kill Him. And the devil can't destroy us either. He'll try to push you. And it might look like you're going towards the cliff, but all you have to say is, no, by the power of God, I'm going this way, and walk right back through. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. It says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Notice that. The rulers of this age coming to nothing. All the stuff that you read on the front line, the front page of the newspaper, or nobody hardly reads newspapers anymore. You go to whatever website you look at, and the headlines that are there, they change like this. Whoever is on there and the issues that are being dealt with today in a year, you might remember them, but they're not front and center. That's old news. Oh, that ruler, they're gone. Whoever, we're in the middle of the World Series right now, but how many of you right off the top of your head could tell me who won the World Series in 1994? Some of you may be able to do it like that, but any given year, you don't necessarily remember because that's past. Now, if it was your favorite team or something, you might remember. But the majority of people that do great things or whatever, you don't know about them. You don't remember them. You can't recall them. But the world glorifies that. So, ooh, look at this person. But only for a minute, because people are very fickle. And then they go on and they're on to the next thing. But if we'll do something for His glory, it's not fading. I said it's not going to fade away. We're going to be for eternity seeing what we do for Him, and His glory will stand for all time. And we only got one shot at this thing. Right. We have a few hours, really. We could say, well, no, it's years. Well, it's going like this right now. We've been here for over an hour this morning, and it's just going to keep going. We only have a little bit of time, and the devil would like to make you think, it doesn't matter where you spend your time. It doesn't matter what you do here. You got so much time. Well, we all know it's moving by pretty quickly. And what we do for His glory is going to stand. But notice this, yet not the wisdom, he said, we're speaking wisdom, all right, but not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God. Glory to Him. Glory to God. We're speaking the wit, because you know what? The stuff we're saying this morning would be foolishness to many people. If they're not born again, if they're not listening with their spirit, they say, yeah, whatever. The fact that you are here sitting in a church, some people would think is just pure foolishness. In this day and age, what are you doing in a church? Why are you there? Oh, yeah, to your quote-unquote God. Talk about foolishness. That is ignorance. But they would say, well, what you're doing is foolish. Well, that's exactly what he's talking about. We speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Skip down to verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. We talked about that several weeks ago. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. These things we're talking about are spiritually discerned. And if you're not going to go through the things we talked about several weeks ago, but just to touch on it, if we are spiritually ignorant, if we're spiritually dead, if somebody's not born again, the things in this word mean nothing to them. That's why they can look and say, this is nonsense, this is nothing, this doesn't mean anything. And things that are profound, things that are eternal, can just go right over their head. Why? Because they're not naturally discerned. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't receive them. This is why you don't debate people into the kingdom of God. Did you hear me? You don't. They'll just come out with another thing. You answered, well, I have a question. And if you can answer that, then maybe I'll believe. What? You're combining logic with believing. Believing's not logical as we talk about logic. It's believing something that you cannot see. You have a reason. It's not that it's illogical. Like we've said before, if you know what God knows, it's completely logical. But to the natural mind, people cannot understand certain things, and they'll say, well, you just answer my question, maybe I'll believe you're God. No, they're thinking naturally. They're going to eventually have to believe, which is not of the mind, it's of the heart. They're going to have to step into believing God, because the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was trying to get somewhere, but I think I'm going too fast over that point. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Notice this. We're not speaking in words that the wisdom of men teach. We're not speaking those things. We're not, in other words, this is not a classroom. I'm not going through my notes or my PowerPoint speaking to your mind. Do you realize we're not teaching minds right now? We're teaching spirits. Your spirit is what's listening right now and growing and what is being fed right now. We're not saying, you know, it's coming through your mind. You're hearing me in English. You're processing. It's going down, but it's getting into your heart. That's how you're discerning these things right now. And when you see something and something goes off inside of you and you go, that's good, that's your spirit. That's the Holy Spirit helping your heart to understand. Faith is coming. Faith comes by hearing. All faith comes by hearing. Right now, when you hear certain things and the Holy Spirit's showing you, faith is coming. You're seeing things. That's not a natural process. That's not the same thing as I have my outline and I'm going through bullets and trying to teach you calculus or something. It's not the same thing. These are spiritually discerned concepts. And if a person is spiritually dead or spiritually ignorant, they can sit there and go, what's the big deal? Did you hear that guy babble for 40 minutes? I don't know what he said. And the next person's life can be changed forever. Why? Because it's your heart. We're talking about the wisdom of God. That doesn't make any sense to the natural man. But the Spirit of God is moving on this earth, and the Spirit of God has plans and purposes to do on this earth, and that's what we want to be hooked up, because all this other nonsense that we see is going to fade away and come to nothing, as the Word said. But if we're wise, spiritually speaking, we'll look around and see that these people that we're looking at, this isn't the real us that we're looking at. We're really people on the inside, and we're all strangers in a strange land, and one day we're going to be in heaven. It takes spiritual wisdom for us to discern that, and so when he's telling me to do something a certain way, it's with eternity's perspective. It's not with our natural human reasoning perspective. So right now, we're sitting here in this building, 16 Haverhill Street, Andover, Massachusetts, in 2013. And God's plan's moving forward on the earth. And some people, many people, are completely ignorant of that fact. All they see is natural things. All they see is the news. All they see is just this natural goings on and who's got what fashion and who's playing in this game. Nothing wrong with sports, but that sport after sport after, there is always some playoff going on, always something. It's the next sport. You could just go from thing to thing to thing. Who's coming out with what album and what's going on in the political scene and so on and so forth, and be completely ignorant of the spiritual climate or the spiritual things that are going on. But right now, on the other hand, you could not be so into certain things that are natural, but be in tune with what's happening and what God's doing on the earth. And it's the latter that's going to really matter, because all this is going to be burned up. And God has a plan and a way of doing things and wisdom that He wants us to partake in and get us hooked up. And so when He tells us, you do this, this is your part, and this is how I want you to do it, if we're spiritual, that means we'll pick up on the spiritual implications of it and say, yes, Lord, my head does not understand that, but I'm not looking to understand it with my head. My heart's doing jumping jacks and somersaults. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going forward with it. And things are changing in the spiritual realm. And this is how miracles happen. Over and over, you see it in the Word. Stuff happened when somebody stepped out to believe God. They didn't understand it before. Hallelujah. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them. See, the natural man doesn't receive them. There's a line between natural and supernatural. And you can so easily, you can be in the spiritual and be hooked up with God, but you can flip right over into the natural and start walking by sight. And you can flip right back over. And we have to be careful. You could be believing God and going forward and doing well, and some circumstance comes up and it kicks you back over to here, to where you're saying, I don't know how we're going to do this now. It's like Peter walking on the water. He stepped out. He said, come. Peter said, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. And he is doing what he cannot do physically. Cannot do naturally. He can't do it. But then he gets his eyes on something the size of the waves and the wind, which have absolutely nothing to do with him walking on the water. There could be no waves, and he still can't walk on the water. But he gets in the natural. And that may be so obvious to us reading it in the Word, but when we're walking in the spiritual, it's so easy to start letting something in the natural that has nothing to do with this, because if we're doing what God said in the wisdom of God, and He says go this way, and some wave comes up, what does that have to do with what He told us to do? Zero. Has nothing to do with it. And because this starts pushing on your mind and your understanding, it's easy to flip back over here and start going and trying to understand with your head, and you can't. And now you're saying, I can't figure it out, and I'm in too deep, and I'm Peter, and I'm sinking. I don't know what to do. It's so easy to do that instead of going over here and saying, God, I didn't understand it to begin with. I don't understand it now. Now this came up. But this is what you said, and I'm going to stay right here in the supernatural and in the spiritual and discern with my spirit. I'm not going to be pushed off and start trying to discern it with my natural man. He said, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now go over to chapter 3. We're right there. Let's just pick up and start reading verse 1, chapter 3. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people. He's saying, I couldn't, you weren't there. I had to speak to you as carnal or natural people. As to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Are you not natural? Verse 5, who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Hallelujah. Verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Did you hear that? Anything that we're doing in our life, it's not about what part we're playing and compared to somebody else's part. What's important is, are we doing what God told us to do? Because God's going to get the glory, and He is the one that's going to give the increase. He's the one that's going to bless it. He's the one that's going to bring us up. He's the one that's going to make sure His plans are going to work. It's not important what our part is, as long as our part is what He told us to do. And so many people get pushed off here because they start looking and are carnal, natural, and start looking and saying, well, that person's doing that, I want to do that. Or I think I would be better suited over here. And none of that has anything to do with anything. What we need to know is, am I in the right place and am I doing what the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, told me to do? And if I'm doing that, I can stay on the track. I can follow His wisdom. I can follow His track. He'll bring up and He'll increase what He told me to do. He'll build it. I said He'll build it. Whether that's a business, whether that's a profession, whether that's a professional reputation, whether that's a church, whether that's a ministry, God's responsibility is to increase it, not ours. Go over to Acts quick. Actually, let's just look at Acts on your sheet. Hallelujah. Verse 41, chapter 2, verse 41 there on your sheet, Acts. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, excuse me, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And this is where I wanted to get to. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who did? The Lord did. The Lord grew it. The Lord grew the early church. That's not our job to grow the church. It's not our job to grow our business. Now, did I say we're not going to do anything in line with what God's telling us to do? No. We're going to do what He tells us to do, though. In other words, it's a difference between us saying, oh, I'm going to do this, and here I go, and here are my plans, and this is the way I'm going to do it. There's a difference between that and saying, Lord, this is what I'm supposed to do. Now, what do You want me to do in line with that? He has a plan. And the difference between those two is producing an Ishmael and producing an Isaac. Doing what He told us to do in line and believing, or doing what I know to do or what I think I should do, and I'm going to go out and try to do this. No, it's the Lord that brought the increase. And He's the one that's going to increase every one of us. He's going to bring us up, every one of us, in what He's told us to do. But it was the Lord that built the church. It's the Lord that's going to build whatever you're endeavoring in. It's the Lord that's going to build this church. He's building it. And it's going, you know what? As a pastor, I don't want more than the Lord needs to give me at any given time. He will grow us up and we'll be solid and secure every step of the way. And we were like that. I'm not saying it wasn't always easy, but when we had, you know, two people besides our family. And then, you know, four people and five people. I've said this before, but why did I blank on the guy's name again? The guy in Texas. Not Osteen. He's a bigger guy. No? Hagee. Hagee. Read his book. He said, and you've heard me say this before, but this goes with every area. Listen, this is not just church, this is not this ministry. He said, if I wanted to really mess a young minister up in his 20s, really just destroy his life, he goes, I turned this church over to him. Why? Because he goes, I grew into it over time. I took on things over time. The Lord built me. He strengthened me. He helped me. He shored up what I needed to do, and he added to me to where I can do this today. But he goes, there's no way I could do it back then. We don't want to do, we're not called, this is not just church, this is business, whatever. We are not called to do anything other than the Lord has told us to do. It's us that gets into comparison and say, if I'm doing this, it ought to look like such and such. It's not true. We are called to do what he told us to do because we're going to stand before him and he knows what we need to do. And we ought to do what he's called us to do and do it with our head held high and go forth because we're going to answer to the Lord Jesus Christ at one point. Not anybody else. It's the Lord that gives the increase. Just know that. In your family, it's the Lord that gives the increase. In your business, it's the Lord that gives the increase. In your profession, let the Lord promote you when you're ready to be promoted. You see, young people, they have skills. And young people, listen. You might have some abilities that people older than you don't have, especially technology-wise. That doesn't mean you know how to live life more than the people that have been around longer than you. That doesn't mean you can manage everything or be the vice president just because you have a few skills. It takes a lot more than that. And we ought to know this in our growth, that God will promote us as God is the ultimate manager. And just like a natural manager is not going to let somebody sit on the bench when he could be contributing in a certain place. He's not going to do that. He's going to put the people on the bench that need to be on the bench. Well, so many people are in their life thinking, I ought to be out there playing when they really need to be on the bench watching. And if you try to get out in the field when you're supposed to be on the bench, you're going to mess things up. Let God promote. Let God move us on. Amen? Look over, turn over to Genesis 6. Hallelujah. We're getting to where we start, you know, like 5 weeks ago, we were going in this direction. Like I said last week, it's just taking us a while to get here. But it's coming out today. Hallelujah. Genesis 6. Genesis 6, verse 20. Notice this. Of the birds, now this is talking about Noah, before the flood. It says, of the birds after their kind, now go back to 19, and every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, and of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will what? Will come to you to keep them alive. Did you get that? People say, well, how did Noah go out and round up all those animals? He didn't. God did that supernaturally. He brought those animals to Noah to fulfill his plan. It was supernatural. God will bring you what you need to fulfill what He's called you to do. That's not your problem. Your problem and your responsibility is to do what He told you to do. Noah was told, build the ark. What about all the animals? It's not his problem. Build the ark. And God said, I'll bring you the animals. They're going to come to you. Hallelujah. You don't have to go. Now, what if Noah would have gone and tried to make a bunch of nets and make a bunch of, you know, traps and gone out there and got them? Well, the people do this all the time. God told me to build the ark, and now all these animals, he's going to save everybody. I got to get going on this project. How am I going to get all these animals? Have you seen how many animals? Some of these real big animals. How in the world am I going to get a rhinoceros into here? You could go off and try to figure out how you're going to do it all, or what Noah did is say, God, he just, if you go back, look in verse 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. And then he gives them very specific instructions. I mean, sort of. He gives them dimensions and whatever, but a lot of it he left to Noah. That's what he told him what to do. And he told him he's going to save him. And then he tells them to bring every living thing, and he says they'll come to you. It's not our responsibility to build what God has told us to do. Business. God will bring you people. They wouldn't mind me saying so, probably, but my family builds custom homes in Nebraska. That's what my dad has done for years. And my brother Mike, my brother runs that business pretty much now. And he will tell. I will talk to him. And he will tell me, you know what, they're still going strong when a lot of people folded in these last several years in that market. Once the market slowed down, people started folding left and right. Why? Because a lot of them were doing spec homes, and they were going with the way the market was going up, doing way too much behind everything. And when it stopped, everything went down. And they just kept going strong. But he's told me how, you know, you'll come down and you're wondering, where's the next people going to come from? What's going to happen? And he said, there'll be a referral, there'll be somebody coming in, just within a few days, boom, 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 and they got all these houses lined up. The Lord will take care of you when you do what he's called you to do. It doesn't please our natural man all the time. It doesn't, because if you get into walking by sight, you can be thinking, what, how, where, and in. You just have to know the Lord has not forgotten us. He's going to build it. He's going to bring, he is a faithful, 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 faithful God. Amen. 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 He'll do what he has said he will do. And if he told us to do something, he is going to see it through. Our job is just to do what he told us to do, stay right there, and don't venture out into trying to do other stuff. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Let's turn back over to 2 Corinthians. I think we'll close there. 2 Corinthians 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3. It says, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being ours of ourselves or from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Amen. Who's saying this? This is Paul. He's saying, we're not thinking we're sufficient in and of ourselves. We're not sufficient to do what God has called us to do in and of ourselves. He says, not that we think, or not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. He said he made us ministers. He did it. And if he did it, he's going to sustain us. It's not us up to us to sustain everything or to make us sufficient. That's God's job. Like we read, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God. We rely on his wisdom, his strength, his ability, his sufficiency. He's got a plan. He knows what he's doing. If we'll just hook up with him, follow him, obey him, we will be led into all the fullness of his plan. Hallelujah. Glory to God.